This is All of It. I'm Kusha Navadar in for Allison Stewart. Many of you have been asking about her, and we want to let you know that she is out on medical leave and recovering well, and we can't wait to have her back. So coming up on today's show, we'll talk about a new exhibit at the Leslie Lohman Museum of Art. It's titled, I'm a Thousand Different People, Everyone is Real. We've got the creator of a project called Chinatown Records with us. She'll talk about the connection between music and family, and we'll have a live studio performance from jazz musician Shabaka Hutchings. That's the plan, so let's get this started with a preview of this weekend's Black Comic Book Festival at the Schomburg Center. I like comic books. I think I got my start with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and lately I've been into Spider-Man and Miles Morales. And as I'm saying that, I'm realizing that both are based in New York. It's a good city if you're into comics. In fact, for the last 12 years, Schomburg Center's Black Comic Book Festival has highlighted the work of Black comic book creators. The festival draws animators, writers, filmmakers, publishers, and of course, readers all in one place. And it's usually a sold-out affair, so if you haven't bought tickets or registered, you should probably get on that. This year's schedule includes sessions on how to draw Black superheroes in comics, amplifying LGBTQ plus voices in comics. There's a Black comics trivia challenge. There's a musical experience celebrating historical trailblazers. And there is, of course, a very Black cosplay showcase. The festival kicks off this Friday, April 26th, and wraps up this Saturday, April 27th. And to give us a preview of the festival, we've got curator and executive producer Kadiatu Tubman, and she joins us today. Kadiatu, welcome to All of It.
Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be back on the show.
It's wonderful to have you back. And also joining us is author and filmmaker Roy Okupe, who will be at the festival to talk about a new Cartoon Network and Max series based on his graphic novel. Roy, welcome to All of It.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
And hey, congrats on the adaptation. That's wonderful news.
Oh, yes. It's fantastic news. And can't wait to talk more about it.
And listeners, we would love to hear from you, too. Are you a fan of comic books? What's a comic book or graphic novel that resonates with you or one that you enjoy? And what are some of the Black comic book characters that you thought were cool? Did they make an impact on you? Give us a call. Send us a text. We're at 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. Or if you're on social, you can hit us up at All of It WNYC. Okay, so Kadiatu, the Black Comic Book Festival was co-founded in 2013, right? Can you give us the origin story?
Yeah, so our Black Comic Book Festival at the Schomburg Center was founded by four folks, actually. John Jennings, Deidre Holman, Jerry Kraft, and Dr. Jonathan Gales. And these folks came together because, one, their love of comic books and wanting to expose folks in our communities to this forum of storytelling. And the initial, you know, rollout of the project was actually for young people who were attending programs at the Schomburg Center, because we realized how important it is for young people, especially young people of color, to have access to literacy. And one of the easiest and most formidable ways for young people to have access to literacy is through comic book and comic storytelling. And so that ignited, you know, 12 years ago and has grown into such a huge phenomenon. There were probably about like maybe 200, 300 people at the first event. And now we're, you know, anticipating up to 8,000 people this weekend. And so we're seeing over the past 10, 12 years, the explosion of why comics are so important in our communities, not only for young people, but for all types of readers and people who love literacy.
Roy, I'm curious from your perspective. I mean, I hear Kadiatu talking about how things have blown up in the past decade. How have you seen the industry expand within that time period?
Yeah, I mean, before I answer the question, I just really want to shout out the founders and also Kadiatu for continuing to really just provide opportunities for people like myself. It's so crazy to think that the Schomburg was literally my first convention almost 10 years ago now in 2015. And I can honestly say that being able to attend the convention over this past year has made me into the creator that I am today. So first of all, I wanted to really just put that out there. But I mean, from the outside looking in as a creator, I think it's fantastic to just see the attention that's being brought to people that look like me. and the work that we're doing. I you can't understate just how much of an influence these type of shows are on creators like myself in terms of providing us the opportunity to really showcase our talent. So I just remain eternally grateful.
Wonderful. And if you thought about like what you're expecting from the festival this year that you think is going to be an evolution of years past, can you put a finger on that? Is there something where you're thinking, oh, this is really expanding in an exciting way?
Yeah, I mean, I can't really put my hand on just on one thing. Personally, I'm just excited about the amount of people coming from all over the United States, to this convention to see what people like myself have to offer in the comic book industry. So I think for me, it's just really getting to see not just my peers and what they're doing, but just new people that are being given the opportunity to showcase their talent as well. That's one thing that I'll always, be very grateful to Schomburg for is the opportunity not just giving, people that have 10 years experience or 20 years experience. It's the new kids on the block, people that have been doing it for 1 year, 6 months. You're going to see a range of, different people, different talents from different parts of the country really showcasing what they have. So to me, it's just exciting to see the new stuff that people are bringing onto the industry.
Absolutely. If you're just joining us, listeners, this is All of It. We're talking about the 2024 Schomburg Center Black Comic Book Festival. It's going on April 26th and 27th. We're here with the curator and executive producer, Kadia Tu Tubman, and Roy Okupe, who is an author and filmmaker. And Kadia Tu, I would love to talk a little bit about the vibe of the festival. I mean, last year, more than 9,000 people are there. How would you describe the vibe? Like what does the who does the festival attract? What kind of community is it?
It's so hard to pinpoint it, but the vibe, of course, we always say it's like black nerds and all types of people, to be quite honest. And if I'm thinking about the vibe, it's pure joy. It's pure joy. There's so much opportunity for folks to share, to learn, to exchange with one another. And I think that the one thing I'm always going back to is the image of this young boy who was at the event for the first time with his parents, and he had gone up to, I think it was Tim Fielder's table, to purchase a book. And then as soon as he got that book, he found a corner at the festival and just started reading. And somehow everyone, all the patrons coming into the event, would make space around him to just go around him because he was taking up space and pure joy. And so the vibe is very much a community vibe. It's a joyful space for people to just be themselves and show up as themselves authentically. And that's something that you not only see in the patrons, but you also see in our exhibitors like Roy and the folks coming in. They show up as themselves, and their work shows truly shines through on the page. That representation, that joy, that beauty, that storytelling, and the diverse types of storytelling, it really shows up in the space. And I just want to say, like, it's really important to understand how representation matters and why it matters in a space like this. We have a group of, for example, this weekend, we have two young women who are coming for the first time. They're still in high school. They're like 10 and 12 years old, and they've published their own comic book on and celebrating their skin color and their dark skin and different types of skin colors. And they're going to be at the event for the first time, and they're just purely happy to be in a space like this and have the opportunity to share their story. So it's just an amazing experience, and it's hard to encapsulate it in just one moment. But I always tell folks, as soon as you enter that building, it feels like you're being transported into a whole new, it's a family reunion, book fair, celebratory space. And it's just something that's you have to experience in person.
I love that. And, I think about going back to 2013 when it first started. I'm sure that was a goal from the outset of this festival. What are the types of programming or the ideas that you put into action that you think really made the difference with creating that kind of culture of celebration you're talking about?
Absolutely. So we're very intentional, for one, for making sure that there's space for young people to learn. So one of our premier programs that we've been doing for the past 3 years that's been high demand is our How to Draw Black Superheroes in Comics that's done by Tim Fielder. And that's just an opportunity for anyone. It's not only for young people, but it's geared towards them. Anyone who wants to learn how to draw and wants to start to think about how to imagine themselves on the page and actually see themselves in representation. that's one program. Another way we've been expanding the conversation is to go deeper into our community and not only just thinking about Black voices in comics, but the different types of Black voices. So the LGBT voice conversation in comics is incredibly important. We have a conversation on Black women in horror, right? Those kind of conversations that are oftentimes not showcased in these spaces that really go deeper into who is really truly represented in this diaspora and in this community. And I'm so excited to be a part of those programs and have that for the public.
Yeah.
For free.
And oh, I'm sorry. I cut you off. You said for free.
For free.
For free. So if you haven't yet, what's stopping you? You can go and get tickets. And it fills up fast, as I mentioned in the intro.
Absolutely.
And listeners, we're sure that some of you love comic books. So if you're listening right now and you're thinking that there is a comic book that made a difference in your life, I think especially if there is a comic book that features a Black creator or Black characters, we would love to hear about it and how it made a difference in your life. Give us a call. Send us a text. We're at 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. We just got a text that came in that, you know, kind of echoes my vibe at least. And it says, love Miles Morales today. Also love the old Icon and Static Shock comics from Milestone. We got another text that said, I got issue number one of Hardware in a random bag and loved it. Think Tony Stark without the rich dad. I wish the character was more widely known. Hey, thanks for the text. We love seeing it. Would love to hear from folks who have experience with comic books. And Roy, you know, that leads me to you. Your passion for comics and animation led you to create Unique Studios in 2015, which allowed you to produce and direct several animated productions, including Malika, Warrior Queen, animated short. What was the first comic book you remember really getting into?
Oh my God. I think it's X-Men. I mean, I fell in love right away. Like, even just this morning, I was on the treadmill watching the new X-Men 97 on Disney, which honestly is fantastic. But yeah, X-Men would be, I think, my earliest memory of reading comics. And I fell in love right away. And I haven't looked back since then.
When did you decide that you wanted to pursue it as a profession? Was it something you'd always thought of, or was it something you eventually got to?
That's a very interesting question. So I was born and raised in Lagos, Nigeria. And, you know, one of the things that was, you know, kind of weird is that obviously you grew up watching all of these, you know, superheroes reading the comics, but you never really see yourself represented as a Nigerian, as an African, you know, outside of maybe when Black Panther came out. But even then, it was a fictional nation of Wakanda, right? So to me, it was always a thing where animation was my first love. And I really wanted to be an animator, a director, a writer, but I just didn't really see anybody that looked like me or where I was from doing it for a living. So it felt like a pipe dream. But when I moved over to the United States and the industry started to blow up with, you know, the X-Men movies, the Spider-Man movies, the Batman movies, and just the MCU in general, I felt like there was an opportunity to really tell these stories from an African perspective. And it was then where I quit my full-time job and I started to try to get my animated career going. I created a couple of animated shorts. I took it to Hollywood. But this was before the Black Panther movie came up. So there weren't a lot of people that actually believed that anything that was based on African history, culture, and mythology could be successful. So I took a step back then and decided that, well, I'll tell my story through comics and I will prove to the world that people that don't just look like me, but people all over the world actually do want to see these type of stories told. And, you know, I released my first comic through Kickstarter in 2015, EXO, The Legend of Wally Williams, which it's a superhero sci-fi story that takes place in a futuristic Lagos, Nigeria, where I was born and raised. And as soon as it launched, it was featured on CNN, BBC, you know, The Washington Post. And it was in that moment that I felt a little bit validated, to be honest, that, yeah, like, you know, it wasn't just people that looked like me that wanted to see it, but literally people from all over the world ordered the books. And, you know, like I said, I haven't looked back, you know, since then. But again, it's not just about launching the comics on Kickstarter. It's also being part of events like Schomburg that really helped me to get out and go directly to the people that wanted to see things like this. And without them, I wouldn't be where I am today.
You know, it's a great point that you bring up about Wakanda being this fictional place and seeing representation in real places, which sounds like what you're trying to do right now. And in comic books, I think for me, at least, what makes them very special is that they are an entryway into learning about different, you know, different places, different people in a fantastical setting often. What in your experience is great about comic books for making that bridge possible?
So I always tell people that as much as I'm very proud to create these stories that are inspired by, you know, my culture, my history, you know, Nigerian culture, mythology and folklore, these are stories at the end of the day that I want anybody from any part of the world to be able to see themselves in. And I relate that to, as a very young child growing up, watching Spider-Man and not falling in love with him because he, you know, was American or anything like that, but because I could relate to being bullied in school. I could relate to wanting to always do the right thing, you know, or having great power and, you know, trying to use that responsibly. Like, these are things that I feel like at the end of the day, people read comics, you know, watch TV or animation to see. They want to see themselves. So for me, it's, you know, comics gives us the opportunity to be able to tell these really, really diverse and vast stories and bring people in a way that I don't think any other medium can. And it's not only because, like for me, like I had to take a step back because obviously I couldn't afford to create an animated series of my own, but comics gave me a step into, you know, being able to tell the stories my way and do it in the way that I felt like this is what I want to tell, and to put that in the world and allow fans to be able to assimilate and see themselves in that as well. So I just look at it as a magnificent opportunity as a storyteller to really tell the story that you truly want to tell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Folks, if you're just joining us, we're previewing the Schomburg Center's 12th annual Black Comic Book Festival with curator and executive producer Kidiatu Tubman and author and filmmaker Roy Okupe. And listeners, we would love to hear from you. Are you a fan of comic books? What's a comic book or graphic novel that resonates with your life experience, or one that you enjoy? Especially, who are some Black comic book characters that you thought were cool or that made an impact on you? Give us a call, send us a text. We're at 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. Kidiatu, we just got a text from somebody that, or not a text, a caller, but we don't have them on anymore. I just thought it was worth asking this to you. This is Eric from Brooklyn, who asked, if someone wanted to get involved with being a vendor in the next festival, how would they do it?
Yes, they should email, and we're always looking for new vendors who are excited to be a part of this community. The Schomburg Center is a very small space, so we're always trying our best to have, you know, folks who have been in the industry for a while and newer folks come in. But if they're interested in getting in touch with us, you can email shomcom@gmail.com for any information or to request to be a vendor for next year.
Wonderful. And, you know, we had talked just before about X-Men 97. In recent years, some comic book fans have made the argument that some of the major publishers or studios have been too political. And I think X-Men 97's revival is an example of this, where, you know, it was based on old comics. Some readers, fans said that it would be too quote unquote woke after seeing the non-binary character morph in the trailer. Kidiatu, can you tell us your thoughts on comic books making a statement? How do you feel about comic books being seen as political?
Yeah, I think art, comic books are art, comic books are storytelling. And storytelling and art are political, and that's something we can't shy away from. And so oftentimes, I think in spaces, what's so special about the Schomburg Center's Black Comic Book Festival is that we don't take a neutral position on it. We're very clear that we are celebrating stories that are oftentimes marginalized or not highlighted in the ways that other stories are being highlighted. And so I will say that the world is changing, and the beauty about comics is that it's storytelling. And stories can change, stories can evolve, stories can include more people. And the work that we're doing with the Black Comic Book Festival is to include more people. So that it's what Roy was saying about having why comics as a form, an art form, really gets more readers, is accessible, as an entry point. But also the types of stories you tell are also an entry point for so many types of people who live in our communities. And they also should be represented as well. So oftentimes when I hear that comic books shouldn't be political, I take us back through a history, especially if you come to the Schomburg Center to look through our archives. We understand that comic books and these storytellings have always had a political edge and a turn to it. And it's important that we're including everyone in the stories that we tell. And the diversity of stories just makes it more possible for us to see each other and to understand the worlds that we live in and also see what's possible for the future.
You know, we just got a text that is not exactly to that point, but I think leads us into another area, which is interesting about banned books. The text reads, I took a graphic novels course at Rutgers Newark as an elective for my social work degree a few years ago. It was a comics course run by a Black female professor. We read Mouse by Spiegelman, now one of the banned books, and M.D. Bright. I loved it. And, you know, as we're thinking about the subject matter that a lot of these comic books get into and the entry point of it, the socio-political context of now must make a difference with the importance of comics, KDOT. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we actually had a conversation from last year on banned books in the industry and how comic book creators and writers and graphic novelists are actually challenging and wanting people to actually read those banned books, because oftentimes those banned books are being told from a marginalized point of view, from people who are oftentimes their stories are excluded, or there are narratives about them that are stereotyped or just not clear or accurate. And so I always encourage folks to read banned books, the appropriate ones at least, the ones that we really advocate for, and definitely look back at the program that we did last year on banned books. But I really don't want us to shy away from understanding the political context of which this event takes place. We're living in a time right now, especially in the U.S., where, you know, diversity, there's a backlash against diversity and DEI and representation. And we have to understand that it's not the time to give up. We have to continue pushing forward and telling these stories, because guess what? They've always been here. And the beauty about the Schomburg Black Comic Book Festival is that we've been here and we'll continue to tell these stories even in the face of opposition.
Mm. Roy, you're participating at the festival in an exclusive behind-the-scenes look at the making of a really anticipated animated series called Iyanu, which is coming soon to Cartoon Network and Max, and it's based on your graphic novel series, Iyanu, Child of Wonder. And I want to nerd out with you for a second. How do you approach 3D as opposed to 2D illustration animation?
So Iyanu is actually hand-drawn 2D animation. So trying to adapt the books to the animation was, I'm not going to say it was a straightforward process, because animation is very hard. But before I even dive deep into that question, I also want to shout out, you know, Lionforge Entertainment, who, you know, is producing this, the animation for Cartoon Network. And, you know, we're being led by Dave Stewart, who is the CEO, and Stephanie Sperber, who is the president of the company as well. You know, so it's, to me, it's like the transition from the, you know, graphic novels to 2D animation it's actually been a surreal experience for me, because, you know, I always told people when I created the books, Iyanu was something that I did as a love letter to my daughter, because in my mind I was thinking, you know, and this is before she was born, she's three years old now. I was thinking that if I had a daughter, like, what would I want to sit down and watch with her together in a way that she can also be entertained, but also be educated at where she comes from. And that's where the story about Iyanu, which is, you know, an action adventure fantasy story that is inspired by, you know, Yoruba culture. Yoruba is one of the major tribes in Nigeria. You know, so to me, it's really a surreal experience that, again, you know, I can't express anything but gratitude to all the fans that started with us in 2015, and literally almost 10 years later now, we're able to take all the foundations of everything that we've built in the comic books, and now we're going to be able to put that on screen. It's really a surreal experience that I'm superbly grateful for.
And when you think about this festival, what are you most looking forward to as a guest at the festival?
Finally, being able to share stuff with the fans that we're working on. You know, we've been working on this for almost from development almost 3 years now. It's really, really a very long and hard process, animation, but the fact that now we finally get to start to share some tidbits of what we're working on, I can't wait for people to see some of the stuff that we have to show. It's really exciting. So if you haven't registered yet, please do, because we have some really cool stuff to show you.
Yeah, I understand that there are a lot of events in this year's lineup that anyone can participate in, like trivia and cosplay showcase and KDOT. I'm sure that this is just, you know, important for creating that vibe you were talking about community, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the beautiful thing is, like I said before, it's free and open to everyone. And so as long as you get there early and sign up, you can sign up to be a part of our cosplay showcase. That's usually a huge party in our auditorium with a live DJ Gregory Wilson. And so I'm just really thrilled to just be able to curate a space like this and hold space for incredible creators like Roy, and like so many of our panelists and conversationalists who will be there to just spread joy, spread knowledge, and just create a whole new world for people that they've probably never experienced before.
And for people who are looking for more information, where should they look?
You can look at shomcom.org.
Wonderful. So the 12th annual Black Comic Book Festival kicks off this Friday, April 26th, and wraps up this Saturday, April 27th. There's going to be a lot there, including a cosplay. If I had to choose, I would definitely try to go as Miles Morales. I love that suit. It's so cool. We've been getting a preview of the festival from curator and executive producer Kadia Two Tubman and author and filmmaker Roy Okupe. Thank you both so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.